Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Largest lead of the first half, an 18-point advantage.
Well, they came right at us, but I like where we are.
Can't you see? Don't you know what I am? I'm a man with a plan, and it's time you understand.
Pucks it in, and it's their first lead since it was 2-0.
That's a great team, and they're going to go and run. This is how you respond. But don't put your head down. Just keep going.
Tatum drives inside, lays it in. Smart corner three. Bang! Boston Celtics take game three. They're two wins away from a title.
Woo! Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, Game 3 of the NBA Finals in the books. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, good morning.
Morning,
good
morning, morning, morning.
What up, Key? What up, baby?
What's happening?
Tell you what.
What's popping?
That Steph. Steph caught fire last night, and it looked to me. Is
he doing enough?
Listen, I got no complaints in games two and three.
You know,
Steph answered the bell.
You know, every time I'm watching these games at home, when he starts doing, I'm like, Max, is he doing enough?
He answered the bell in games two and three when they needed it. If they don't win, that's not on him. Not last night, but Jay. You're the basketball expert.
You're the basketball guy. We're experts of all sports here, Max. You're the expert of everything.
Well, yes, that is plainly true.
There you
go. What'd you think? What'd you think about the game last night, Jay? What's your takeaway?
So, for me, we're going to give Boston a lot of their credit, right? One of my biggest takeaways is Draymond Green's stat line was horrific. It was 1-4. He had more fouls than he did shot attempts. He had 3 assists, and this is a guy that impacted the game so much in game 2. We said he was the best player on the floor because he led team in all of assists, in minutes played. He was a tenacious rebounder. He set the tone. And for me, when you watch Golden State last night, even though Stephen Curry was doing his thing, even though Klay Thompson found his rhythm, which is a great sign for them going into game 4,
for sure.
It just felt like that was my biggest thing, Key. That Draymond Green effect, it wasn't there. Like he was actually – him and Steph were being targeted last night. Like Marcus Smart, whenever he got Steph on him, was targeting Steph offensively, taking his legs away. And it was the same – there was one possession, Max and Key, where Jaylen Brown waved Derek White away and said, get away. I don't need a damn screen. Because he was setting the tone going against Draymond Green and got to the bucket.
82% of the time, this is a stat that's been bandied about, the team that wins game 3 of the NBA Finals when it's tied up 1-1, not when one team has a 2-0 advantage, but when it's 1-1, the winner of game 3 wins 82% of the time. So, guys, both of you thought the Warriors would win the series, as did I. Has that changed? Has it changed for you, Jay?
A lot depends on Stephen Curry, man. I got to see how it comes out. It's unfortunate. It reminds me a lot of 2016 when he got hurt again, having a guy in Al Horford, Key, that is 6'9", 245 pounds, that falls on your leg that way, a lower ankle foot injury. It seems like these things always come back to haunt Steph. You can't control it. It's so unfortunate because I want to see him healthy. He's having an NBA Finals type of series. But damn, man, like that injury did not look good last night. And I know he hobbled off the floor, but that's not a good sign for them moving forward. If he's not available or if he's not himself, it's going to be hard for them to win this series.
Look, he gets a day's rest. He gets the rest up today. He'll be back on the floor tomorrow, according to him. He feels like he'll be able to play. I think it's setting him up for a miracle finish. Hey, game 3, he gets hurt. Oh, my God, Steph fought through it. Look at the threes. It sets up that whole conversation that'll lead into game 4, back in game 5, back to Golden State. So it's a good thing. I don't look at it as a bad thing. Now, the question initially was from you on whether or not they can finish the deal like we predicted. I do believe they can if he's on the floor. If he's not on the floor, it's going to be really, really hard. I think any team that loses their top dog – if all of a sudden Jason Tatum disappears from the Boston Celtics or Marcus Smart disappears from the Boston Celtics, LeBron James disappears from the Lakers, you don't have a chance. And it's the same way with Stephen Curry.
Key, even if he's on the floor, but he's not himself, they ain't winning the series, man. They're not.
Like, oh, of course.
Like, he needs to be healthy. Like, he is. He has been prolific this NBA Finals, man. He's made five or more threes multiple times in his career. The only player in NBA history to do so in the finals.
He's averaging
31 points per game.
I don't care what anyone says. He's having his best finals of his career so far. Game one, I didn't like the fact that I thought he faded in the second half. He still wound up with 34. He had a big first half. Games two and three, Steph answered the bell when his team needed him to, scoring in ways I have not seen. I saw flashes of it in the Toronto series, right? But on the non-KD teams, I haven't seen what he's done so far. But Key, you bring up, and Jay, you bring up, 16, come on, Max, he had the ankle. So could if this winds up where he's playing, Key, but it's kind of a 2016 situation, do you think they can win anyway because there's no LeBron James on the other side? Because Steph has gotten older and wiser, or is that going to make it tougher for them to win?
No, I think it, much like Jay just said, he has to be prolific and 100% in order for them to win. Now, what is 100%? I don't think right now he's not going to be 100% because he got injured. So the 100% thing goes out the window. But I think if he could be really effective and he can knock down shots at times, they can still find themselves in the win category. But if not, it's gonna be real tough. I think they all know that. But look, here's what I would say. To the eyes, the injury always looks worse than what it naturally could be, especially when you have a certain feel for yourself on what your injuries are, how you bounce back, how you come back. If you think about when he was injured in the regular season, when he finally got back, that first game, he was cooking. I mean, he looked like normal kind of Steph Curry. So I think he'll be fine. I feel that he'll be fine. Somehow, some way, they'll put some dust on the ankle, rub it a little bit, and he'll be good.
Rub some dirt on it. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here is Steve Kerr on whether there's any concern about Steph's injury.
No. You mean when they dove on the floor for the jump ball? Yeah. I kept him in the game.
Right, and then you took him out at the two-minute mark.
I took him out with 2 minutes left because we were down by 14 points. So
no concern for Steph moving forward.
I didn't say that. The injury didn't force him out of the game, but I took him out down 14 with 2 minutes left because we weren't going to catch up. We'll know more tomorrow.
That's interesting because that's the first time I heard the Steve Kerr post-game interview. So that's interesting to me. You see right there, he's saying that's not the reason Steph left the game.
No, the game was over.
But think about what he said. He said that's not the reason he left the game.
But he still
so right there,
he
tells me.
He didn't say I'm not concerned when they said you're not concerned. He's like,
that's factual.
He's not gonna minimize a dude's injury.
But Key, if you're Steph, here's how you have to look at this situation. Even if you are hobbled, right? The opportunity for greatness is something a lot of players talk about.
Yes,
and it's here. The opportunity for greatness is here.
Why would you say that, Jay?
Well, because you have to look at it being optimistic if you're Steph, right?
No, I say why would you say the greatness part because the guy sitting next to you is going to scream and holler and smile from cheek to cheek.
Because he hates the narrative.
No, it's not a narrative. It's something that internally for Steph, if you're focusing on it, right, if you've been playing your ass off up until this point, like it's pretty much a consensus that everybody thinks about him as the NBA Finals MVP thus far, even though they're down 2-1, okay? Like we're trying to give the trophy to Stephen Curry.
Oh, this just helps. This is going to create that drama.
That's what I'm saying. If he is injured and he finds a way to have a prolific performance, the opportunity for greatness was already at 100. Now it goes to like 250. If this man finds a way as a 6'2", 185 superstar in the NBA, that kind of player, a normal human being finds a way to go next level.
This is what I've been saying.
Oh my God.
This is the kind of thing I've been talking about. This is exactly what the legacy needs to put it over the top and start to get into that top 10 conversation.
Help me with my brain real quick because I remember it as a kid. I remember it as a kid, but I'm not 100% sure. Didn't Zeke hurt his ankle in the championship, it came back prolific.
Was that the Eastern Conference Finals or the finals?
Was it the Eastern Conference Finals?
I have to go look that up. I don't remember.
I just remember it as a kid.
And he dropped like 30.
And he dropped. Yeah. It's like that moment where you're like, he's hobbled out there. still putting in work. And by the way, Boston will still be in drop coverage. So, like, their defense kind of gives him opportunities to do those things. It does set it up for that kind of drama.
And yet no one can do it alone. He's going to need help.
Agreed.
We're going to get into Jordan Poole. We're going to get into Klay Thompson. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Keyshawn, J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. How much can a podcast be a distraction? Because we're also going to get into Draymond Green. Boy, did someone have an agenda last night, these media guys, am I right? You're going to hear it next. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hey, Key.
Yo.
So I did some Instagram stories yesterday, and Jay just told me, oh, I saw you're more active. He said, now I'm in the metaverse. I made it to the metaverse.
See, Key, you just throw out a word, and then you get Max to repeat it, and it don't even make no sense.
I made it to the metaverse. This is what the NFT must be about.
Yes, it's about your IG stories.
And they're going to send you some Bitcoin on top of that.
Oh.
Bitcoin went up yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't sleep.
Hey, Key, stop playing
See?
Games when
there
it comes
you go.
To that.
There you go. I'm just trying to let you know, Key. I'm just trying to put you on. Yeah. But we can talk about that another time.
No, you ain't gonna put me on. I'm good.
Yeah. That works outside the metaverse, too, right?
Like
That's
Gates,
the whole thing.
Like Gates always says, let me put you on.
Guys.
Like, as I would say, if I can't touch it.
You can't touch your money now. It's in the bank.
Yeah, Key hasn't handled cash in 5 years.
Thing.
What are you talking about?
What do you got? All your money's stored in a safe underneath your house?
No, underneath my mattress.
Key, if I told you they changed the color of money, you'd be like, really? I haven't seen a dollar bill in 5 years.
Stop.
It's all high finance.
What do I look like, Tom Brady? Please.
Hey.
Draymond Green. Speaking of media, guys, Draymond Green. On if he gives away too much on his podcast.
God.
Listen to his answer. He was asked about it. Is he talking X's and O's? What does Draymond think about that?
Are you conscious at all of what you're saying about the X's and O's, the game plans, the adjustments could be making their way back to Boston staffers and influencing their decision-making at all?
No. I don't say much different on the podcast than I say to you right here. So, nah. What's the X's and O's that I said on the podcast?
Only real thing I noticed that like really stood out was you talked about how to cover White, Smart, and Horford differently between games one and two. That was really only.
Oh, yeah, that was just contesting shots. That if that's X's and O's, then you're reaching for something. It's all good, though. Keep going. Reaching heavy. The only thing, you find that they are taking X's and O's away from your podcast.
The only thing you've said is
White, Smart, and Horford.
I'm not trying to blow it up.
I mean, you went for it, but yeah. Hey, respect. Appreciate the podcast promo you just gave
you
me, though. The Draymond Green Show. You next time, just mention it that way.
So, look, first off, I love it. Get that plug in there, Key. I mean, Draymond had a horrible game, right? I mean, he had more fouls and shot attempts. He had 3 assists. He had, you know, 4 rebounds.
And he copped to it.
Yeah, it was horrific, right? And he knows that. He said he played like crap, right? But here's what bothers me about all this. So Kendrick Perkins is tweeting about it last night. KP is family to me. I'm going at him. And even a big brother to me, and Isaiah Thomas, who literally last night on NBA TV after the game, I was watching, said, he's not talking about Jaylen Brown. He's not talking about Jason Tatum. He's not talking about Marcus Smart. He's talking about a podcast. He's talking about Cedric Maxwell and fans. So, Key, this is where I lose my mind, right? He's not giving away insight or strategy on how they're going to defend Boston going into game three or game four. He's giving you insight into what he saw in the game. And to a degree, yo, so what if he takes an hour and a half, 2 hours to do a podcast? Say you play basketball for 8 hours.
He should be sitting in his room alone thinking about the game.
Say you sleep, Key, for another 8 hours. Okay, you have another eight. What are you doing with the other 8 hours of your day? You're telling me you can't take 2 hours of that and do a podcast? That's distracting you from getting ready for the NBA Finals? Like, we're still using this outdated kind of archaic thing. Well, all distractions, and he's not focused. He had a crappy game. It's not because he does a damn podcast. Let's stop with this, man.
Yeah, you know, when you're searching and you're looking for answers, or you're looking to ridicule somebody or whatever the case may be, and you have a hidden agenda to talk about somebody, whatever it is, you will find a way to do that. And as we were talking about this earlier, I was thinking to myself, as a player in the National Football League, it was always, well, he didn't do this. He should have been doing it. It's like, that has nothing to do with whether I had a good game or I had a bad game. I remember as a kid, or not even as a kid, hell, just recently, during the pandemic, doing the whole 30 for 30, the Michael Jordan stuff. He went to New Jersey, to Atlantic City, to gamble and hang out and then drop whatever it was against the Knicks.
But Key, that's so, the key, right?
It's like,
if you're going to do it, that's on. I want to choose my words carefully here because of what goes on in the world, but if you want to be, well, in the old days, we'd have called it bulletproof. From the criticism, right? What you do is you show up and you drop 55 at the Garden. You have a good game, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you have a bad game, then media people will start thinking, I wonder why this normally great player wasn't great tonight.
Mets, he's been doing
like
this
Jay
podcast
said,
since November 15th, 2021,
said,
Key.
Yep, like you said, though, Jay, I didn't hear anything after game two.
Nope.
So, like, don't get caught up in the whole media circus narrative. We need to figure out how to get some bulletin board material on this guy so now he can talk about us and we can be relevant. And
if a media member thinks, you know what, I wonder if this is a distraction, asking the question, he shouldn't be intimidated out of asking the question because he'll be criticized for asking a question. He's curious.
No, do your job. Do your job, but just know that the job that you're trying to do ain't going to come off well.
So Steve Kerr, same reporter, asked Steve Kerr if Draymond's podcast is a distraction. Here's Coach's response.
I don't listen to the podcast. So I don't know what he's said on there. It doesn't bother me. It's, you know, 2022, it's a different world. Players are part of the media now. It's been established. So it is what it is.
I mean, is he wrong? No. I get how people are going to say things like bulletin board material, Key. You're giving other teams incentives. Like, I get all that. But, I mean, Cedric Maxwell, we talked about it the other day. Like, this is who he is. Like, this is who Draymond is.
If you're Draymond, you want as many people listening to your podcast as possible, ostensibly, right? Like, that's why you do something in the media. And this is a giant commercial for his podcast now.
So should he have done the podcast before the game? Would everybody be satisfied then?
No, because if you do it before the game, yeah.
Should he do it before? Should he do it at halftime? Like, seriously, should he do it during the timeouts? Like,
Key, God forbid you do a podcast on your off day. God forbid you do a podcast on your off day.
God forbid you try to do anything in the off season. God forbid any of that, right?
How much do you think there is insecurity in traditional media about athletes grabbing a big chunk of it because they're in a better position if they're also good communicators to get those jobs, and they kind of shove traditional media off to the side a little bit?
LeBron James does it every day with the shop.
Mm-hmm.
He does the shop throughout the course of the regular season.
I always tell people this. I get the traditional. I mean, I get the new wave media, and I get all of that sort of stuff, but I don't ever think that traditional media is ever going to have to worry about those sort of things. We've seen this before. This isn't the first time that we've seen individuals try to do spin-off things on their own. It's just, I mean, come on, man. You work for one of the gorillas of the industry. It's just certain things is not going to happen. Yeah, you may only be able to go get Draymond and Draymond, and that's pretty much it. But at the same time, Draymond's still going to TNT. You know what I'm saying? So when his career is over, but he going to TNT.
Last thing I'll say real quick, Max, before I know we got to go. So they interviewed Adam Silver last night, pregame show before the NBA Finals started, and they talked about LeBron James being a billionaire. And he talked about how he set up his whole media entity and how it provided a platform for a lot of athletes that even now J.J. Redick, C.J. McCollum, mm-hmm. Patrick Beverley, Draymond Green, to start building their brands and talking first about what they see on the court. Like, this is going to be something that we are going to be seeing go next level for the next 10 years, and traditional media has to get used to it.
Technology has democratized media, but still, as Key says, there are platforms, some platforms that are bigger and stronger than others. Don't forget, we're giving away $3,000. $3,000 following Game 3. Tune in at 9:30 a.m. Eastern to find the winning word. Keyshawn, J. Willimax is brought to you by Mako. There are scratches, there are dents, there are unexpected natural events. If life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. And go to Mako.com to get an online estimate today. Is Washington's defensive coordinator, what is going on? That's next on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So
I wish people could see Key and I's face right now.
Yeah, Jack Del Rio, it's the Washington Commanders defensive coordinator. You know, like you don't want your coordinators or anyone really causing a giant distraction out of nowhere, right? Well, listen to what he said about the insurrection in which seven people lost their lives, including a Capitol police officer. Listen to how he characterized the insurrection at the Capitol.
I think we all, as Americans, have the right to express ourselves, especially if you're being respectful. I'm being respectful. I just asked a simple question. Really, let's get right down to it. What did I ask? A simple question. Why are we not looking into those things? If we're going to talk about it, why are we not looking into those things? Because it's kind of hard for me to say. I can realistically look at it. I see the images on TV. People's livelihoods are being destroyed. Businesses are being burned down. No problem. And then we have a dust up at the Capitol. Well, there's nothing burned down. And we're not going to talk about, we're going to make that a major deal. I just think it kind of two standards. And if we apply the same standard and we're going to be reasonable with each other, let's have a discussion. That's all it was.
By the way, that was in his defense of a tweet that Del Rio sent out on Monday. Quote, would love to understand the quote whole story about why the summer of riots, looting, burning, and the destruction of personal property is never discussed. But this is hashtag common sense. instead of me sitting here and schooling Jack Del Rio, because that comment is so stupid, it belies, like, I don't even know where to start. It'd be like explaining it to a child. It's such an idiotic comment. But let's leave that aside for a second and talk about the reaction from the point of view of, you know, how this, what kind of an impact this has on a team. Guys, who wants it first?
Go ahead,
Keith. I surely would take it first. You know, I look at it as I'm trying to really understand Jack Del Rio. I'm trying to understand him. I've been knowing Jack Del Rio since I was about 6-7 years old. I was a bat boy at USC when he played baseball, and I was a ball boy at USC when he played football, growing up in South Central Los Angeles. I've been knowing Jack Del Rio a long damn time. I am very, very disappointed in him, like, to a whole nother level. Like, it hurts to the core, because when you respect somebody, as long as I have respected Jack Del Rio, and now all of a sudden I hear this, now I take something back. I entrusted in him. Everybody has an opinion. You have your own thoughts. You can say what you want to say. It you know, it's free. Do whatever you want to. Freedom of speech. But as a player, if I'm playing for the Washington Commanders, I can't play for him as my defensive coordinator. I just can't. As a black man, knowing good and damn well what January 6th was all about. We can gloss over it many different ways if we want to. But I think everybody in this country know what the hell January 6th was all about. We can talk about the summer riots, and we can talk about destruction of property and things of that nature. Yeah, we can talk about that. Is it wrong? You're damn right it's wrong. Burning people's property down and looting and stealing is certainly wrong. But the frustration for many, many years was built up. So we must start there to understand why that took place. But we didn't have zip ties. We didn't storm the Capitol building as African Americans, because that's who you're talking to and you're talking about when you're talking about the summer. That's not what we did. We didn't go and try to attack politicians. That's not what we did, okay? So when you say something like that was just a dust-up, Max, not you saying it, Jack Del Rio saying it, you letting us know what he said. On top of that, when you rattle off several people lost their lives, including police officers, that was a dust-up? Oh, okay. I would have a hard time playing for the man, me personally. That's just me. And if anybody knows me, you know how I am. If I say something, that's what the hell it is, period.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, Key. For me, you know, there's a lot to unpack here. Number one, from a player perspective, I would play for Jack Del Rio. I do not and am not a subscriber that I think Jack Del Rio should lose his job. His First Amendment right is to say whatever his opinion is. My First Amendment right, if I were a player on that team, I would be addressing facts at every press conference I had. And I would make his job very uncomfortable. I would make him feel and apply more pressure on him internally. That's my approach. That's how I would take it. Because I think if you fire him off this, I think that creates a new set of problems. Now, if they're not able to get a new stadium because a senator heard that, they get voted against that, that's a different conversation. My First Amendment right in addressing his opinion with my opinion is I think that was one of the most idiotic things a person could ever say. And I think that's a bigger problem that we have in our country, is that people have different sets of facts, right? The conflation of opinion and facts. Key properly articulated that we lost lives during January 6th. And the fact that he said, hey, looting, robberies, things of that sort, no problem. No, according to the Associated Press, which is, you know, considered by most people to be a nonpartisan, credible source, we had over 10,000 arrests, Key, during protests during the summer. I'm with you, Key. Burning things down, looting, stuff is not correct. But to compare the two, considering where this country came from, what the issue was that people were addressing, to something that got claimed through trials as an attempted coup, right? A resurrection.
Insurrection,
on the Capitol. Like that, to call that a dust up, it feels like it's lost in a lot of these polarizing thoughts that people are saying, because you just start conflating everything. So, look, man, like I got so frustrated at hearing this yesterday, because his ability to double down on it is something that either became even more bothersome. And the question is, Key, if you're Chase Young, if you're a guy that's in that locker room in a city that is Chocolate City, Washington, D.C., right, how do you handle this internally? Do you want to play for a guy like Jack Del Rio? I don't know what Chase Young, but Chase Young's going to have to make a comment off this.
Well, everybody approaches it differently, right? I mean, it just depends on where you at, how you feel about it. Look, I'm a type of person, you show me who you are, I'm done with you. That's just me. If anybody knows me, you know how I am. If you show me who you are, I'm done with you. Now, Chase Young and the defensive side of the ball and those guys in that locker room and Coach Ron Rivera, who's been on our show many, many, many times, I'm sure are deeply hurt by his comments. I'm sure. When you are dealing in a league of a majority of African-American football players, not just African-American football players, but people that stand by the right things to do versus the wrong things that was done, you're going to get a different reaction. There is no question about it that locker room is going to look at him sideways. Now, they may still play because they're getting a check, but it ain't going to never be the same. It ain't going to never be hugs and kisses and kumbaya. I can promise you that, man.
Yeah.
Unless they're delusional.
He played what about? He tried to compare sedition, trying to overthrow the government, with protests that were largely peaceful, that at times turned violent. And they're two completely different things. But furthermore, why are you drawing the connection there in the first place?
Why
are you playing what about that? What?
But if you go back, and I hate doing Jack like this, because he's a USC Trojan. Mm-hmm. I've been knowing Jack for a long. You have no idea, man, how long I've been knowing him and how close I've been to Jack Del Rio. If you go back to 2016, and you go all the way back to his days as an Oakland Raider head coach, he made comments about kneeling down that was crazy. Mm. So it's like. But you're showing me who you are. I get it.
He may also just have low comprehension. I mean, and he's easily propagandized, because the comments, the first thing I think is, well, that's a stupid comment. But Key, you're saying, yeah, but what I'm seeing is something underneath it that I don't like. It's not about being stupid. It's about something's wrong there. Well, this is what he said. This is the comment he made to try to walk it back or to do some damage control. You tell me if this comment means anything to you, Key and Jay, okay? From Jack Del Rio. I made comments earlier today in referencing the attack that took place on the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021. Referencing that situation as a dust-up was irresponsible and negligent, and I am sorry. I stand by my comments condemning violence in communities across the country. I say that while also expressing my support as an American citizen for peaceful protest in our country. I have fully supported all peaceful protests in America. I love, respect, and support all my fellow coaches, players, and staff that I work with, and respect their views and opinions.
Okay.
That mean anything to you guys?
It's cool. You apologize. You already said what you said, man. You now trying to put a cap on top of it when it's already out the bottle. It's too late. I get it. We're Americans too. We are Americans too. And we want peaceful protests too. And we respect everybody too. We respect all of our colleagues we work with and the players we play with and the coaches that coached us. We respect that too. And we respect their feelings.
When you say it's too late, do you mean you revealed something about yourself that you can't get
100%.
That toothpaste back in the tube? I see who you are.
100%. Do you think he revealed something, Max? Do you honestly think he revealed something? Are you believing that he is just, it just slipped out his mouth?
I believe that he did reveal something, and I wonder how much of it is commentary on the level that a huge percentage of people in this country have been propagandized And but in order to be propagandized in that way, I think largely your heart has to be in a certain place to begin with.
But can I say something real quick? Because I'm on social media a lot, and I'm sure Jack Del Rio's not on social media, but I think social media sometimes is a reflection of your echo chamber that you live in, right? So a lot of times what happens on social media is, you know, you would hear this about Facebook too, or sorry, Meta, as they call it now, where they put you in these echo chambers and your thoughts, you end up hearing other people's thoughts that are so similar to your thoughts, they just continue to enhance that. And I think a lot of times people don't surround themselves with people that have alternative thoughts that actually have thorough conversations. So for me, I'm not going to cancel Jack Del Rio. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I look at this as an opportunity. I like his apology key. I think it's a first step. But
I can't. I'm sorry, Jay.
I hear what you're saying as an individual.
I don't subscribe to when you screw it up.
Let me finish, though.
And then you apologize. I don't subscribe to that, man.
I understand.
Not in these situations. I can't do it.
And you're allowed to, Key. There will be a lot of players that might feel exactly the same way you do, and that is allowed off of his comments. My thing is, I think it creates a different type of issue if we were to cancel him and not give him the opportunity to show us over time what he's learned. Now, Daniel Snyder, there's some other issues there. It's really the ownership of the Washington Commanders. But if you're Ron Rivera, hopefully you're putting Jack Del Rio in rooms individually with a lot of players and forcing him to have real conversations so they can see him apologize and they can have in-depth conversations, Key. And it is going to take that kind of work. People have to be willing. My thing is, your apology is one thing. Be willing to do the work individually and collectively with the team to show that you have learned from this experience.
I don't mean to push back against you, Jay.
You can push back, bro.
I just don't subscribe to that type of behavior when I know what you're doing. See, you're not gonna fool me, okay? You're bringing up summer riots and you're bringing up protests, in peaceful protests that turned ugly at times, like Max said. We know who the summer protest people were. They were African-Americans. The majority of them were African-Americans.
And actually,
black people that looked like me.
And by the way, a big percentage of when they turned violent had nothing to do with the actual BLM protesters. I agree with you.
I was infuriated by the comment as well.
But when
I agree
you
with you
say,
both.
When you try to minimize something, you're talking about a government building.
One of the most famous government buildings that I know.
I understand, Key.
I think the larger point, the thing that you're discussing is Key's like, I see you, I had it with you, goodbye. And Jay, what you're saying is you want to use it as a moment to broaden a conversation and enlighten people and try to move forward. And my heart is with Key. Like, that's how, because I get angry as soon as I see it. And I'm like, you know what? I see you, goodbye. But my head, Jay, is with you in that we don't get anywhere if we don't at least make an attempt to reach out to the misinformed, the ill-informed, et cetera. Now, if their heart's just not in the right place and it's all an excuse, what can you do?
It's cool to reach across the aisle and hug. It's all cool to educate. It's all cool. Some people are misinformed, and you can bring them back. Some people are that way.
Let me ask you a serious question. I don't want to put you in this bind, but we're having this conversation right now in real time. I think it's important. You've known Jack Del Rio for a very long time. Where would you say, before hearing these comments, where did you think his heart was with you in your personal relationship?
My personal relationship with him is fine. I had a personal relationship with him, personal relationship with Bruce Allen, that used to be the president, general manager of the Washington football team at the time, that are now the Commanders. I have personal relationship. Doesn't mean because I have a personal relationship, I can't feel a certain way about an individual.
I was just asking you to give insight into you. Do you think there were any racist-like tendencies that he's shown you over
I can never say he's shown me personally.
Okay.
But when you allude to certain things, when you go back to the San Jose Mercury back in 2016, which is a newspaper, and an article was written, and you see his comments about kneeling down in the protests and the things that was going on back then, and you look at that, and then you fast forward again today, and you look at that sort of stuff, you have to sit back and say to yourself, what the hell am I dealing with here?
I want to quote that because part of it is also, guys, I want to point out a double standard here. Forget about trying to guess where his heart is, right? hearts of people are hard to read sometimes. But instead of doing that, just think about the double standard. Because this is referring to Colin Kaepernick's protest. Quote, "For us, I think it's more about recognizing that you're part of an organization. You're representing our organization, and our organization believes that you should pay respect to the flag. Save those individual decisions to express yourself for an individual forum." Okay, think about this for a second. Really what he's saying is, don't be a distraction. We are a team. We should be lockstep. Again, the way he expressed that, it's a stupid thing to say, expressed poorly. And I can get into that another time if you really want to know why.
He does the same
thing. But the fact is, the hypocrisy is on display. Because here he is, as a coordinator for another organization, kicking up a firestorm, so to speak, over something that, what? They need this right now? So he's doing the very thing that he has a problem with Kaepernick doing in 2016. See, unless it aligns with his own personal values. If it's his values, then it's okay to express it publicly. But if it's not his values, then you're going against the team. So his values, that's really what the team, he believes, he expresses, whatever he thinks, that's what everyone else should think. And if not, then you're going against the team.
And you know, another thing, Jay, so like for me, having to be involved with my university in a lot of different ways when it comes to hiring practices of our football coach, I put Jack Del Rio's name down. Okay?
Yeah, I hear
so
you.
If you go in and you do it this, and then all of a sudden this comes out, and you got to go sit in the homes of these black families and recruit these kids, and I'm the fool that signed off on you to become the head coach, that's going to be – they're going to be looking at me saying – what the hell you put in here, Keyshawn?
Yeah. No.
So all of that, to me, is personal now. Because
so, Key,
you've duped me for so long and had me believe in something totally different than what I'm seeing now.
Do you think he should be fired?
No, I don't. That's not my decision. I can't fire somebody because I don't own the team. Okay? His rights are his rights. The way he feels is the way he feels. Okay, if that defense doesn't perform well or doesn't want to play for him or they losing money and things of that nature, that's a different conversation.
In other words, you wouldn't do to him what the league did to Kaepernick.
No, I wouldn't.
Right.
No, I wouldn't.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. I wouldn't either.
Isn't that interesting? Because Kaepernick didn't break any rules, nothing, just, you know.
I'll just
didn't
say it again.
Participate in an optional ceremony.
Jack didn't break any rules.
Your long history, all your feelings are valid. I get you. I just, you know, sometimes with propagandizing, Max, like you made mention of, it makes sense for us to take that as a moment to learn how to build and learn how to deal with that and talk it to the next level.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, back to the finals.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.